Welcome to the Saturday Slammin' Jam, hosted by Andrew Schlecht with Alex Spears.
How about we can just watch basketball?
That's a man's jam!
I like that idea.
Live from Oklahoma.
Click, click.
With questions and participants from all around the world.
Put that on a poster!
Whether you're flipping your flapjacks, tending to your yard, or just sipping your coffee, get ready, sit back, relax. It's the Saturday Slammin' Jam.
Fact is, I missed this shot. I'll walk away. I'm still a chump.
Here's Andrew.
Welcome to the Saturday Slammin' Jam. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. Go to theathletic.com/NBA show and get The Athletic for $1 a month for 6 months. We're doing this show live from the Vivint Smart Home Arena right after the Rising Stars Challenge.
Thrilling.
After Jose Alvarado ended it all. It was a beautiful scene, honestly. I'm here with Dave Dufour. I'm here with Mike Smeltz. It was a fun game, especially that last one. Seeing Alvarado do what he did was great.
Any game that ends on a made shot is awesome.
Yeah.
Every single time. We even like it when a game ends on a made shot that doesn't count. Spencer Dinwiddie just did it a couple weeks ago, right? Like, we love that. The target score is a victory for the sport of basketball, for the spirit of basketball,
yeah,
for the soul of basketball. We got a walk off at an all-star game. It rules.
Yeah.
I loved it so much.
It's great. And like that first game between Joakim Noah and basically the G League team, it was like, okay, this is gonna end pretty quick.
Yes.
Because you just run up the score and then it's just over, which was also great.
Is this the greatest Friday night in NBA All-Star history? Because Sam, our video guy, is here. So there's two options, just to let everyone know. There's two different games going on sort of simultaneously, though it's a little staggered. There's the Celebrity All-Star Game, which is filled with TikTokers. And then there's real Rising Stars.
Yeah.
Dave, Andrew, and I chose the real Rising Stars. And Sam, who will not be allowed to talk, chose the Celebrity. But Sam, there was a three-quarter shot buzzer beater for the victory.
It didn't count. It was still awesome.
People
told us about it because
we're still talking about it.
We love a made shot.
Look at this.
This is what happens.
Synergy. I was going to dig into that story.
Honestly, the greatest. Can you remember any other single Friday night in NBA All-Star history?
Well, what was great is Alvarado's he just embodies the spirit of like a game winner, which was just. That in itself was great.
Now, we weren't watching on the broadcast, but I was watching the post-game interview.
Yeah,
he called game.
Yeah.
I love that they mic'd the guys up. Like, this is what an all-star event should feel like. And then that last game, those guys played hard.
Yeah.
They wanted to win. Like, you could see, especially like when it was 16-16, they kind of turned it up. And this is where that target score or Elam ending, whatever you want to call it, it makes a difference in these sort of exhibitions. I mean, I'm not saying that guys weren't playing hard the whole time, because I actually thought a lot of the guys did play hard. The shooting wasn't there at all for any of these teams, but the effort was. And you mentioned the G League guys kind of, man, that was rough. I'll tell you, that shows you the big difference between the guys that actually make the league and the guys that are on the fringe.
Dude, it's a massive difference.
Yeah.
It's the G League is great, and there's a lot of great programs, and it has a purpose, but there's a massive difference.
I mean, it's a developmental league in every sense.
Yeah.
Like those players, if they were good enough to go make like big money out of, you know, the States, like if they went to Europe, like if these guys were good enough to go play in Spain, they would. There's more money there. So, you know, it's a step down from that sort of level of competition. But it's actually, this is one of the cool things is like, I think fans, they don't really watch the G League games. And so for the fans, they probably think, all right, well, it is a crap product. But those guys, I mean, they showed flashes. They did stuff. I mean, you know, Scoot physically looks like an NBA guy.
Yeah.
But that just shows you the level of play difference. I mean, the NBA guys were more organized, and nobody out here was practicing. They weren't running an offense.
Right? Yeah. Well, and although, also like these games were like that last game was the most anybody played was like 7 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, so like there's no like stat comparables here.
Do you have the minutes? Are they in the box score?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How did they do that? So how many minutes did the Rockets guys play? Because we noticed that they basically just sat on the bench.
Just for the record, I didn't bring this up. I didn't bring this up one time. In the last game, Is this what you're talking about? Tari Eason got a DNP.
Jeez.
And yes.
Now that's a mistake.
Yeah. And then Jabari played 5 minutes and 21 seconds.
So let me ask you this. I do think with Scoot, it's interesting that, okay, he didn't really stand out, right?
Didn't attack.
Now, I'm not going to extrapolate this tiny little game. I'm not going to blow this out of proportion, but what we understood about Scoot Henderson was he is the consensus number two prospect in the NBA draft. Yeah. If he had a great night, the hype train would have continued to skyrocket. Now, like we talked about, they didn't run plays. He was playing with guys he's never played before.
Played 12 minutes and 18 seconds.
What did he do? What was this?
4 points.
Yeah. 4 points, two assists, two steals.
Does he need another year in the G League to get more seasoning?
Does he need another?
You know, is he not ready? Maybe, is he not ready for the NBA?
Well, okay. I'm just now, I would say this. If we're comparing, like, him, and I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen any of his stuff in the G League, okay? But he stands out in the G League against G Leaguers.
I've watched two games.
Yeah. Is,
yeah.
And he stands out. But Victor Wembanyama, that league he's playing in, I mean, the French league has great athletes, but it's a lesser competition league than Spain or, you know, the Euro League, obviously. But
yeah,
I would say it's similar, maybe slightly above G League as far as like quality of play. But I mean, athleticism, there's more athleticism in that league. So like there are things about the G League that you can look at like beyond just like, okay, this guy is a good player. You can see how Scoot does against similar like high level athletes, because the G League does have a lot of those guys, like guys who are just like can run, jump, you know, do that.
Well,
kind
and
of
the G League is way more open than what Victor's playing against in Europe.
Right.
Or yeah. Playing against in France. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's so funny. Look at us. We're devolving into this Victor.
We've already
Scoot.
Gone into Victor.
I know.
Victor Wembanyama is not here. Oh, well, he might be in Utah, but he's not at the game tonight.
I know.
And we're talking about.
But I do think if we're going to talk about actual takeaways from a semi-ridiculous event where they broke everyone up into four teams, that was fun. It was a fun format. I'm with Dave. I think by going to ending the game on a score makes it actually exciting.
Yeah.
There are small things you can try to take out of this. And if we're trying to do that, we're trying to dig in with tweezers into this game and pick out the delicious little bits. Scoot Henderson, maybe like not dominating, feels like something. Feels like it doesn't mean anything, but it feels like something. Also, another thing I noticed, the Thunder players continue not to pull up and not to do it at the end of the game. They lost Giddy, who is just sub all star. And Jalen Williams,
wait,
that they lost. What? Giddy?
Just sub all star?
Well, technically, everyone's sub all star who isn't an all star. Yeah. I'm just trying to get Andrew riled up here. they couldn't pull it off. They couldn't pull it off against Team Powell.
Hey, credit to Team Powell. Credit
took
to
home
Team Powell.
The chip. I love Pau Gasol's reaction tonight, by the way. He
treated like he was coaching.
Yeah. It was kind of, that was what was cool. It was Darren Williams, right? Joakim Noah. There was a third guy who I'm not quite sure who he was. So Coach Williams and Pau Gasol and the different vibes between all of them. You brought up the comment of what Darren Williams said during the draft. So yeah. To explain to everyone, how are these teams picked? Because maybe not everyone's clued into how we got these delicious rosters.
It was a draft. So they drafted and it was only exclusively on the NBA app. And so I sat there and watched on my phone.
And no joke. I was talking to him and he was like, all right, I'll be there in a minute. I'm watching the Rising Stars draft. And I laughed so hard to myself.
I said,
this is the coach, Team Jason.
I said, I have to.
Everyone knows who Jason is.
Jason Terry.
Jet. Wasn't there?
Jet, yeah.
Wasn't there another guy who was brought up as coach? Or maybe he was just an assistant. Apologies.
Yeah.
Jason Jet. Terry. Jet.
He didn't get to choose his team.
He just got the G League.
Yeah.
But Darren Williams said, I haven't watched much of these guys. I don't even have league pass. It was a hilarious sight.
And Powell's team, the scoring distribution, very even. Like they were sharing the sugar. And I'll tell you, it stands out to me when I'm looking at the roster sheets here, aside from the G League team, the team that won, they didn't have anybody from the Rockets. And that matters, apparently.
It's a stated fact.
No Rockets, no Thunder.
It's just a state. Both are facts. Stated facts.
I mean, all winners over here on Team Pow.
What does it mean to lose in a rising star game.
So here's the deal.
I'll tell you what, Jordan never did.
It's true.
It's true.
Is that right? I'm just throwing it
never
out there.
Never participated, like, but also yeah. never,
yeah.
never lost.
Exactly.
So these games are pretty meaningless. It was fun.
Yeah, it was really
a spectacle. Alperen Şengün was in jeans within like 10 minutes.
A mascot hit a mini basketball right at him with a golf club.
Oh, yeah.
And
dangerously close.
Şengün was not satisfied. And he threw it into the stands. He was supposed to throw it back to the mascot, and he just chucked it into the stands. I think that's maybe the highlight for me.
It was a beautiful
moment. And then the Milwaukee Bucks Breakers dunk team at in between, right before the final, was another highlight for me.
We yeah. actually got a chance to watch them practice this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Over in the Huntsman Center.
Yeah.
And it was pretty impressive. It's a different experience seeing. I've never seen the gymnast dunkers without a crowd. Like, they were just practicing, right? It was empty. It was totally different experience. It was more impressive without the crowd, because you just get so, like, we see it all the time. Like, we all have, you know, we have the league pass and we get the in arena feed, so I watch all that stuff because I just leave it on or whatever. But it was a different thing to see them, like, with no one there, because I was like we were talking about it. I was hyper focused on what these guys were doing. And I just never really thought about it. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Those guys are fun.
They're good.
Yeah. So they're all stars.
So we're going to.
And for this, for the podcast, I just pointed at Dave. Was like,
yeah.
Yep.
He's right. So we're going to do rising star superlatives. We're not going to talk about the games anymore.
So excited.
There's not a lot to take away. Some guys are trying really hard. I feel like Quentin Grimes was trying really hard. Like, he really wanted. He wanted this game. And so,
yeah, and he would have been the MVP.
They were just feeding him.
And he was actually cooking. You know, I mentioned this while we were sitting there watching. He looked like, you know, the second year player at Summer League against these guys, which makes sense. Like, he's playing against dudes that have less than 6 months of NBA experience, you know, in large part.
4 of 7 from three.
And he looked like more of a, you know, grown man basketball player than those guys. And you know, I mean, he's had a great year. I'm not surprised to see it out of him, but they really were feeding him. It was like they made a conscious decision. This is our guy. Let's go out and win.
Yeah.
And you can win the MVP.
So let's start with the first superlative.
I'm so excited.
Most likely to lead the league in scoring from these rising stars rosters.
Does Scoot count?
Oh.
Scoot counts.
He counts.
I mean, kind of.
Does no, he should count. He's
okay.
on it.
Okay,
I think
let's
he
count.
Should count.
All
okay.
right. He's in.
Regardless of that, it's Kenneth.
So is Mac McClung. Mike McClung's also in.
Okay.
You know,
so I think the choice is, right? Banchero, Scoot. Is there really anyone else?
I mean, Jalen Green could do it,
right? Jalen Green could do it.
Sure.
You could see a scenario where Jalen Green puts up like 32 points a game on a really awful team.
Like the one he's on.
Right. I think he's, of all the guys, probably got the best shot. He is a legit, like, I mean, he's a gunner.
Yeah.
He's never going to be shy about shooting. He's never going to, you know, he's never going to overpass. Those kind of guys. I mean, and he actually has some real talent. So, I mean, I think out of the whole list, probably Jalen Green and then Scoot, because Scoot is going to be the number one, most likely, wherever he goes. So he has a shot at it. But Jalen, I mean, as a scorer, I don't know if any of these guys can really even touch him right now.
Ben Mathurin?
I think it's a little bit different. Mathurin.
I don't know if he's going to have the ball enough all the time, like the heliocentric offense type thing that is going to propel you to win the scoring title.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to have it all the time. He may have like the fantastic, long, consistent 20-point career over, like 20-point season over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought up Banchero. Do you think that's a possibility for him, or is it too tough for him just because of, you know, the position he plays? Because ultimately, I'm sure he will evolve into shooting more and more threes and all that stuff, but he won't be like Green is going to put up threes like crazy. Does Banchero, like, what's the ceiling on his scoring?
I think he passes too much, right? Like, so, you know, the guys like that that are going to, I mean, he's a distributor, he's a play initiator. Like, I just think that those kind of guys, like, they naturally aren't, like, they're not going to be in a position to do that. And I feel that way with Mathurin. How many times have you had a guy lead the league in scoring and had a teammate who was a 20 and 10 assist guy?
Well, let's talk about the scoring leaders in the past 5 years. Luka Doncic.
Heliocentric.
Joel Embiid.
Big, but he's the focal point of the offense.
Steph.
Obviously, yeah.
Harden. Westbrook.
Yeah.
Steph Curry, Westbrook. Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony. I think Paolo fits in with that kind of group. I think he could, I think his ceiling
30% usage
is that kind of guy. I think he could do it.
I think he's capable. I mean, he's got the talent, but I don't know if his, because he is a playmaker. I think that that's something he values about his game is his passing. I mean, he's got the moves. Like he has like he's the fluidity.
Yeah.
To score like that. I mean, what's he at right now? I mean, he's above 20 points a game. And I think you do that as a rookie, obviously you can score like in real life.
Yeah.
So
It's also, if Banchero is leading the league in scoring, either something has gone wrong where he's dropped those other parts of his game, or something has gone so right that he's still doing the passing, still doing the initiating, but then putting up 32 points a game. Like that would,
if he was in a Luka role, I could see it. But I just don't, like, is he going to evolve into that?
Eventually? I don't know. Like Joel Embiid did it. And he was averaging 30 points, 11 boards, 4 assists.
He's still so much bigger than Banchero. Don't you think he's so much more physically over? I know Banchero's,
I mean, he's more
big.
Yeah, he's more physically dominant.
Do you think Banchero is going to be a top 12 guy, top 15 guy? Because that's what it really is.
I think he's got a chance to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's so many things that, you know, depend on if he can actually get there. It's like situation.
Yeah.
Health, coaching staff, teammates. There's a lot that's going to go.
I mean, who they draft next year matters, right? Like if they somehow
got Scoot.
Get Scoot.
Somebody set the table.
That would be different. But it's also
so exciting.
You got to share the ball too, right? Like Scoot's going to get his shots up.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I don't mind Banchero. I think he could.
Yeah.
But most likely to do it, I would agree that it's Jalen Green out of this group.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Next superlative. The most likely to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Ooh. Evan Mobley.
Yep.
Isn't that
was easy.
I'm staring at his picture right now.
What about top three? Because I do think that that's correct. Because he can defend multiple positions.
So you love Sohan. I don't know.
I do.
I don't know if that's
I think it's just hard as a wing to get there.
He's a four.
Yeah. Alvarado is like he would have to have a 5 steal.
Right.
He
would have to be insane. I mean.
Yeah.
It's hard. So we're
easier
looking
to win it as a big.
Like I'm just going to start.
Walker Kessler is a guy who can do it. He's going to play so much drop. He's going to get a lot of opportunities. He is a legit. I mean, this guy is like a 5 block a game guy.
Yeah.
Well, and blocks is such it's the easiest thing to translate. I mean, it's the reason why people vote on this award.
Yeah.
I think you go. I guess because of that, do you go Walker Kessler above Evan Mobley? Because Walker Kessler, while Mobley will be a better defender throughout his entire career, Kessler is going to put up the 4 block per game season. You know, he's going to mature even more. Like those are the things that just stand out to people who vote for that award. And I mean, Mobley, I mean, okay. I still have number 1, Kessler number 2. I'm trying to think of like a good number 3. I mean, we talk about Sohan.
Jabari Smith is a pretty good defender. I think his trajectory is up.
He's got a long way to go.
He does.
To be in the top 3 of this list.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it's Mobley, then Kessler.
What about Scottie Barnes?
Oh, yeah. Well, so
he's fallen off this year. Looked like sky's the limit. Like he's going to be just this Swiss Army knife of a defender.
Wouldn't
he can defend 1 through
KD.
5. Yeah. And then it's like he's underwhelmed. But
inconsistent role, though, for a second year guy. Like, what is his job on? Can you tell me what his job is on defense?
I mean,
they're trying to stretch him, which is like that's what they should be doing, is like not like clearly defining what you should do.
Right.
Like, let's make this guy grow into his role. And I think they're doing that. And so he's like TBD for me.
Right.
Like, I'm not anybody rushing to judgment on Scottie Barnes this year. I think that's wrong.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. But I mean, I guess, yeah, he would be 3rd out of the list. But to be fair, when you get below, you know, Kessler, Walker Kessler, I think is an underwhelming list defensively. Sohan is good, but
But hopefully, yeah, probably doesn't do enough.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Enough, the blocks.
Definitely not enough around the rim.
Right.
What about most likely to win MVP at some point in their career?
I mean, I think that I go with Bankera. I mean, maybe I just love the guy as I love his game, but like, because of what you talked about.
You think he can lead the league in scoring? I mean, yeah. I mean, that's
like, if you can lead the league in scoring, potentially, but, you know, because he does so many other things, I think he has a mentality that, like, I don't know. I just, I'm in on his future, his trajectory, particularly as we talked about, if like the Magic can like scoop up another really exciting young player.
Yeah.
And then that team just takes that leap. They become what Cleveland is now, you know. I don't know about anyone else though, guys.
What about Evan Mobley?
I was about to say, what about Evan Mobley? I mean, well, we know what he is. Like, I mean, he's a guy who, you know,
I'm not whelmed. I'm not overwhelmed. I'm underwhelmed. I mean, what leap has he made this year?
I mean, I think he's been better this year defensively than he did his rookie year.
Statistically, he is about the same player he was
roughly
last year.
The same offensively.
But I think the three ball has been worse and like
shooting
He doesn't take them.
Right.
And he's shooting 19% from three. So, like, he's got to get better there. He averaged 15 points last year, 15.7 this year.
Usage is slightly down, but not by much.
Not by much at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not a great free throw shooter either.
No.
Below 70% from...
But for him to be MVP, he would also have to be Defensive Player of the Year.
He'd have to be
25 and 12 a game.
He'd have to be Kevin
Garnett.
Three
blocks.
He'd have to be Kevin Garnett.
What if he is, though? I mean, he almost has to be Giannis, really. Like,
I just don't think he can be that. He'd have to do what KG did and not be Bosch to win MVP.
And he's got to have the ball in his hands more.
Yeah.
We're not talking about Scoot, but it's maybe too tough as a guard. You have to be so electric as a lead. You have to be Steph.
Like, can he be Russell Westbrook? Scoot, you know what I mean? Like, can he be that sort
he's
of rising
got the burst.
Tide? Right.
Yeah.
How's the, you know, like, is the passing going to be there? Because, I mean, this is one of those things that gets lost in translation with Russ, is that Russ actually is a really good passer.
Yeah.
Or at least he was. I mean, you can argue now, but he's a really good passer.
Yeah.
They
were top five in offensive efficiency
that's right.
year after year, even though, like, they didn't average
yep.
very many passes at all. It was because he created everything.
That's right.
By getting to the hoop.
Yep.
And then just spraying it out himself.
And Scoot, as an athlete, may be enough of a force of nature that he does collapse the defense in the same way Russell Westbrook did. And if they have shooters around him,
mm-hmm.
we know how the NBA works, and he can find them. That's a guy that would have a shot at it. I mean, if he was able to be a 30 and 10 guy, that's MVP type numbers.
Yeah.
So who are we saying?
I mean, Scoot. I like Scoot.
Probably
but I think
be
Paolo. I'd go one just because we know like a little bit more
Scoot.
About him.
Yeah, yeah. Scoot, Paolo. I think Mobley. Like, okay, who's your dark horse? Like, who's one where you're like, you know what? I secretly believe this guy can make a.
Are you
great,
just trying to get us to
a
say
crazy
Giddy?
Lead.
No. Like, if he starts like
no.
I feel like this whole thing is being set.
Jeremy Sohan. That's the guy. Like, if
make
his
case.
If
Let's
his shot comes around, man. Like, I think he's got star written all over him. If the shot comes out, now, look, we know what they say about ifs.
You know,
and none of us are drinking right now.
That's,
so
that's why mine would be Franz Wagner. Like,
would he be able to do it playing with Paolo, though?
I mean, he's 19, 4.5
mm-hmm.
this year as a second year player.
Big gap.
I'm saying it's a dark horse. I'm not saying like he's.
I think we're discounting Jalen Green just because the team is so bad.
Well, hold on.
You can't win.
Jalen Green is like.
You can't win MVP on a bad team.
Yeah.
But he's not winning it this year.
Can you win MVP if you don't play any defense at all and have never even heard of it?
James Harden
did.
In Houston.
In Houston. But where they were like perennial conference final.
They were like winning so much.
Yeah, but maybe the Rockets, maybe Jabari gets it going and Jalen gets it going and they get
Now we're taking lots of leaps. I was like taking like maybe one or two. Now we're just like making, we're just in a fairy tale land.
The guy has talent. He's going to have the ball in his hands. We just talked about he may lead the league in scoring. He has that potential. If you lead
Houston
the league
had four rising stars.
So are they the best young team in basketball?
No.
You're just trying to get me riled up.
I'm always looking around my back to see if like Daryl Moore, or not, he's obviously not there anymore, but like,
what if Daryl Moore is sitting right behind you?
And he's still like,
and he's in on Jalen Green as a future
Raphael
MVP.
Stone. Yeah. That's Raphael Stone right there, though.
No, he's having, Raphael Stone's drinking champagne because he has all the Nets picks. So he's,
that's right. True. That's right. True. His own guys not being very good is okay. Because he has all those net picks. Yeah. Although, I mean, again, they have talent, and that's, you know, yeah, they stack talent.
Yeah, yeah, very talented.
And I'm a believer in Jabari Smith, man. I think that he, as a defender, is going to be really good. But as an offensive player, I think he's got.
Yeah. They just need like 10 more players on the team, 10 more pros, and they'll be okay.
Well, that's a team that desperately needs, like, I mean, and I know they just sent out Eric Gordon, but they really need like a good veteran.
Eric Gordon.
They need like type. They should have been in on Danny Green. But Danny Green went to a championship contender now.
Well, he wanted a contract.
He wanted to play with future defensive player of the year, Evan Mobley.
Yeah. I don't blame him.
Yeah.
It's great. Now they got Frank Kaminsky. How about that?
Wait. What? Did
He's
the Rockets this. Got Kaminsky?
Yeah, yeah. In trade. He's there.
Oh, they didn't buy him out. They're not going to waive him, or
he's part of their future.
Okay.
He's gonna.
Shangoon. I assumed he was going to wind up back in Phoenix because, you know, after he got traded, I thought they were going to let him go, and he would. I mean, he was great in Phoenix. So
yeah.
Huh.
Interesting. And they could use him.
I mean, people like Frank the Tank.
I agree that if things change in Houston, that Jalen Green will have a chance.
Come back around to my point. Thank you.
I agree.
What if James Harden goes back there as a free agent this summer?
Is that good or bad for Jalen Green?
It's bad for Jalen Green. It's great for a potential top four protected pick to the Thunder. This is what it's great for. Okay, next one. Most likely to win a finals MVP in the next 5 years.
Stop.
I mean,
what are we trying to predict?
There's
here?
One guy. I mean, Evan Mobley is that guy.
Yeah, I think he's the only guy. Who else is on a team that we think has like the trajectory to get to
Sam.
The NBA finals?
That's the I mean, you know, Nembhard is good, but the Pacers don't have that.
Please stop.
And
okay,
Mathurin. Mathurin. The Pacers aren't going to win a title anytime soon. But Cleveland, I think, man, they just got so much talent. And then Donovan Mitchell, having that dude, and then Darius Garland, who is like your 1B, is nuts.
Yeah.
You've got all-star level guard play at both spots, and then you have two all-star level bigs. That's insane. And then they signed Danny Green. I mean, they might win the title this year. Evan Mobley could be the finals MVP this year, right? I mean, I'm not being crazy here, but a couple things break.
Being a little crazy, just admit it.
Hold up,
just admit it.
Absolutely no way.
No, hold on.
Mobley.
Couple of things break right for them. Speaking of, I mean, Giannis did just get hurt, right? Like, I mean, it's his wrist, and he's gonna be fine by the playoffs. But injuries happen. Things are wide open in the West, especially.
Yeah,
Boston is the favorite, but I mean, look, we've seen.
You got to the word swing. But too quickly after Boston. Like Boston is like far and away.
But if they, I mean, if like they far lose, and away. If they lose Jason Tatum for some reason, or you know,
man, you're making big leaps.
Today I am. Yeah, yeah, I'm just saying that Cleveland, out of all these teams,
has
the
in
best
the next
shot
5 years. It doesn't have to be this year.
No, I'm saying they have a shot of making the finals this year. They are in that contender class. Yeah, right?
What would Mr. Mobley have to stack together within a 7-game series that he would get it over Donovan Mitchell or Garland?
You have to be like Danny Green.
You would have to go nuts.
20 and 10 and like shutting down Kevin Durant in the finals.
Yeah.
Like he guards, like is exclusively guarding KD. Right.
And just keeping like 20 a game.
What was, I know they're different players, but Kawhi, when he was with the Spurs, he won a finals MVP, right?
He did, yes.
What was that season like? I mean, I know that's probably way too hard for us to recall.
One of the best finals
ever.
That was
they're totally different players. I'm just trying to think of like the defense for him was so vivid.
Yeah.
That is
it. Iguodala won a finals MVP and he held LeBron to what, like 27 a game, right?
Was that
like,
2014 finals for that?
2014.
He was 12 points a game.
Who? Kawhi.
Six rebounds.
And he won the finals MVP.
It was 2014 or 2015?
2014.
Yeah. 2014.
That's ChatGPT. What does ChatGPT say to about that?
Stuck in a glass case of emotions.
I think Evan Mobley's the only answer to this of today.
Jalen Green. No, I will add a legitimate name, and I'm not, and I'm really not playing to you.
Okay.
Josh Giddey.
Yeah.
I think the Thunder, of all these teams, like if you put together all the teams, Cleveland's by far the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Clippers, but Bones Highland isn't going to win finals MVP. The Thunder have a very clear, within the next 5 years, they have all the assets.
Yeah.
They have trades to make. Now, would he ever get it over Shea? Probably not, because Shea would probably be electric in a finals if that happened. But
Shea putting up Michael Jordan numbers, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say if you're gonna pick a Thunder player though, I would pick the other one.
Jalen Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, he's spicy.
He's got a pull up game. The shot is, I believe the shot is real.
I love this.
He'll get, like, he could average 4 steals a game. In a playoff series. Like, I think he could, like, do something crazy.
Well, this
like
is what
that.
We talked about. We were talking about Jalen Williams.
Walking the streets of Salt Lake about this.
And I was talking about Jalen Williams and how his defense is just, it has progressed incredibly fast.
Yeah.
Where, like, I mean, he's got, like, the tools, right? The long arms. He's got, like, good instincts. He's fast. He's kind of strong. But it wasn't tied together. Which for most rookies, it's not.
Yeah.
But it seems as if they've been really pushing him and challenging him to challenge himself. And I mean, he was a nightmare defensively. When was that game? He had, what, 5 steals the other night?
6 steals. 6 the other steals. Night. Yeah.
He was a nightmare.
Yeah.
So I could see him being out there being a chaotic defensive playmaker, which is sort of what Kawhi was doing in the series that he was finals MVP.
And he can really score.
Mm hmm.
When he wants to.
And if you're in the finals, Shea is going to be like primary option. They're going to be working to take him away.
Yeah.
If Giddey is like your secondary playmaker, Jalen Williams would stand to catch quite a few like open 3-point looks, be able to attack closeouts, get to the basket. And if he's playing high level defense, good argument there.
I really like that.
I think Giddey.
Now, what about Jeremy Sochan when he's in the finals next year with Rookie of the Year and MVP Victor Wembanyama? Hey. Now he's got a real chance.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's a perfect pairing.
Oh, I
honestly,
can't wait.
They're gonna
really like it.
Look,
I really like that.
If I was running the NBA, guys, there is one team I would allow Victor Wembanyama to go to, and that's the San Antonio Spurs. That's it.
Yeah,
I would be. Freezing envelopes.
It feels like destiny, right?
Yep. I would be weighing down the lottery balls.
In that jersey? I can see
him. It's perfect. It's perfect. There's too many.
Tony Parker gets hired as an assistant coach.
Life rhymes too often for Victor Wembanyama to not wind up in San Antonio.
What rhymes with Wembanyama?
Well, nothing. But Tim Duncan, one of the greatest bigs ever.
Yeah.
You know, this would, and you've got Pop, this would be like a bookend on Pop. I don't know. Basketball is kind of like this, right? Like we get these great stories randomly.
I called this on this show earlier this year that I just think it's going
to
happen.
I want it to happen. I don't root for outcomes often, and especially not with stuff like this. Like, I root for what's the most fun. Where is this guy going to have the best opportunity to flourish and, play with other good players, right? I want to see Victor come into a system where he's going to be taken care of, where he's going to learn, where he's going to grow. I don't want him to go somewhere where it's like he gets a hangnail and he's going to sit out for the whole year or not going to be challenged, not going to touch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I worry about there is, will he start right away? I want to live in a world where this guy, day one, is a starting center for whoever does that for 15 years, right? Like, I want to see that. San Antonio would be perfect.
Yeah.
And they stink.
Pirtle. They moved Jakob to clear the space.
They did. It's, again, destiny.
Well, they're racing to catch the Houston Rockets. The Spurs have won like 2 games in the last 2 months, and they still have a better record than the Houston Rockets.
Houston Rockets are on pace to have their worst season in franchise history this year, which is not good.
No.
By the way.
No.
That would be bad.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics. and managing it as one big juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
Okay, next one. Most likely to win sixth man of the year.
I love this. I knew this was going to be coming. So this is actually the best question because a lot of these guys are ultimately six men-ish.
Yeah.
You know, there's some like starter level dudes.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned Jaden Ivey yet.
Nope.
Who's had a nice season.
I mean, ultimately, Mathurin may win it this year.
Mathurin has, yes, he's got a legitimate chance to win it.
So, yeah, he's kind of the pick. I don't know.
Although I think ultimately he's a starter. Don't you guys think?
You mean like
as a player, right? Like,
yes.
So he might win it this year, but this might be the only chance he has to win it.
Very good.
You know, a guy like Trey Murphy, you could see him. I mean, I think Trey Murphy's got a long career. He's good. Three and dunk.
I'm a big fan of Murph Dog. Big fan.
But you could see a scenario where he's on a team that's, you know, maybe he's not. Like if he's not in New Orleans, he's on a team where maybe he does come off the bench. Jalen Williams is a guy where, you know, he'll have a shot at that. Quentin Grimes, you know, if he can score.
Yeah, like, Quentin Grimes is good.
It's all about the really scoring, though, right?
Like, Quentin Grimes is good.
We're always going to go toward those guys.
He's a starter.
And,
he's
yeah, good. And I agree with that, too.
He's good. What about Keegan Murray? He's a starter, but he's a guy that I could clearly see like being in a bench role at some point.
He could be
like,
there. I mean, he could easily right now be their sixth man, right, instead of starting, so.
Bones?
You know, I don't know. I mean, he's got
you're out on Bones?
No.
That's what you just said.
I love Bones.
That's what you just
said. VCU guy, man. Come on. Yeah. We stick together. I was pumped when I saw Eric Maynard's name on the
Eric Maynard.
There used to be a really weird
Eric Maynard versus Russell Westbrook debate amongst Thunder fans.
Oh Lord.
It's a real thing. It's a real thing. There was a friend of mine that was pushing for a Russell Westbrook for Dwight Howard trade so that Eric Maynard could take over at point guard. Continue.
I mean, I'm not that guy. That's not me that he was protecting there. But Bones could do it. But the thing about Bones is, you know, it's going to be like Jamal Crawford comps for Bones works for me. It's about how much he can actually, like, how much time is he going to get?
Yeah.
Because it's all about scoring. Can he put up 15 to 18 points a game coming off the bench? And I don't know. I don't know if in, you know, for the Clippers, I'm thinking next year, maybe, is he going to have enough touches, you know, off the bench? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, they might bring in Russ. He might drop down the depth chart this year. And it's true.
I like Bones.
I do like Bones, though. And he's going to shoot. Again, the biggest thing is just, can you get the volume?
Yeah.
Jalen Green, future sixth man of the year.
If he ever got demoted, then yes, absolutely.
Right.
Like he would fit that. But if you're the Rockets, you picked him number two.
Right.
Like he's not going to be that.
Certainly. Never mind.
But Ben Mathurin, easily like that guy.
Yeah. But Dave brought up that great point. This is the last year he'll not be a starter.
Right.
You know, and Nembhard is an interesting name, but
yeah,
he's not going to score. Is he going to score enough?
I think he can score enough. I think with Nembhard, because he is a good passer too.
Yeah.
Like you could see him, if he was coming off the bench and it was like 14-7.
Yeah.
Smart people would make an argument there.
What about Jaden Ivey? Because you have Cade coming back.
Right.
What if they got the number two pick?
Yeah.
then like, what are you, I mean, what are you doing?
Now, look, if Detroit doesn't have the number one pick, I don't know what they would do. Like, would
if
you?
If they do have the number one
you
pick,
you have to take
you Scoot. Take Victor Wembanyama.
I mean, I know, but then it's like, you got a billion centers. Right.
Oh, well, who cares? There's only one of those matters.
I know you don't care, but it's just like, what have you been doing this whole time?
Collecting been... all of the centers. Now they have the center, the young center project market sort of cornered.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a project center, they have
them.
We've got all of them.
Feel bad for Jalen Duren as a guy we haven't mentioned yet.
Yeah.
But who I do really like, but.
He's a good player. Yeah.
I like Ivy. I like Ivy as a six man.
Yeah, I think he's one that mm-hmm. could be forced into
a
that
little
role.
Bit of thunder and lightning too with like him and Cade, right? Because you know, think about it. He's so fast attacking the basket.
Fire and ice.
I like thunder and lightning. I think about Lindell White and Reggie Bush a lot. You know,
you do.
Yeah. Dude, hey, football used to be really cool when you had the running back tandems where one of them was like Christian Okoye,
and then
the other guy was
gigantic,
like,
and one was fast.
Like fast, yeah.
Brandon Jacobs, remember Brandon Jacobs, 6'4", 230?
And who was their fast guy? The Giants, you're a Giants fan, I'm assuming?
No.
Oh, no. You're Jets fan.
I'm a Washington Commanders.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Brandon Jacobs used to run all over us.
Okay. Yeah.
So like it may have been Tiki and Brandon Jacobs or something like that.
They had it back in the day, like early 90s. They always had running back tandems.
Yeah.
The Giants did. Yeah.
Well, next one. This is a sad one.
Oh, jeez.
But necessary.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Most likely to flame out. Most likely when, we look back in like 3 years, we're like, man, I can't believe that guy actually made the roster.
Okay, so, Oh, yeah, Johnny Davis was here.
We should remove all G League guys because...
Yeah, that's not fair because,
we just don't.
I agree with that. If you're not, if you're so, in the G League, guess now,
who can you flame out if you've never flamed in?
You're correct. If the flame has not been lit, there's nothing to out.
Yeah, it's just a candle.
We really should have got a custom guess who game and flick these down as we're doing.
Oh, that's a great idea.
That would have been
good.
We
could make one. Because, yeah. So if just to paint a picture here. The NBA has printed all these rosters and just set them on a table. And I think I might be the only person who grabbed these papers.
Well, we're for sure the only people podcasting about this.
Here's the thing with the NBA. They print too much. Every team prints too much.
Too much printing.
If you want to know, if you want to blame somebody for using
global
too
warming.
Much paper.
Don't go there, Andrew.
For the rainforest.
Don't go there right now.
It's the NBA. Anyways. Okay. Back to the question.
Flaming
out.
I mean, so the rest of the people that we're looking at, if we're really going to be.
What we're really saying is who do you think is out of the league first in this group?
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm looking, all right, I think Jose Alvarado is a good player, but small guards, it's hard for them.
He was the MVP of the rising.
Oh, I'm just sounding this out. I'm just looking
at
the roster.
Large fall from grace there.
And then role matters so much.
Yeah.
You can see a guy like AJ Griffin, who I think is really talented, but like where he's at,
should we say Bones? Just because.
And Bones, like
Bones is already on his second team.
On his second team.
Who else didn't leave under the
best circumstances from his first team. Go into a place where he may, as he progresses, if they bring in another,
there's pressure
Gordon.
On the franchise. There's pressure on the franchise to win.
He may not be able to play because he cannot defend. Or will not defend, one of the two, but he is a turnstile.
Yeah.
He's actually something less than a turnstile. He's not even a turnstile. He's just an open gate.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it.
And on
that team, man, that's not a place where you can do that and thrive.
For the next thing. After Dave said he's an open gate, you were like, okay, what's the thing I could do? Say next. And welcome sign.
He's a welcome sign.
He's a Walmart greeter.
He's a Sonic drive-thru. You know,
Sonic drive-through.
Do you know what Sonic is?
I mean, Oklahoma.
I guess you don't drive through. Oh, it is.
Yeah. Actually, one of my pledge brothers, his grandpa started Sonic.
Mr. Sonic.
Mr. Sonic. we would show up to Sonic all the time, and he would go inside Sonic and just grab anything we wanted, and just.
Oh my god, that's amazing!
Yeah, it was great.
So again, this is so funny. We just talked about how Bones is like a dark horse sixth man of the year candidate.
Yeah.
But this is the game, and I think Bones, just from what has already happened, is maybe the pick.
I would agree.
I think so too.
I think
small that, I would only again, say Sohan hey, because by the he's way, so interesting of a guy.
Small guard.
And that Sohan may like, well, he's so interesting that he may decide, I just want to like do something else with my life as opposed to play basketball. He's a lot of other interests. No, I'm not even saying it negatively. I'm just saying he does. And so if I'm going real dark horse here, I love him as a basketball player. I'd go Sohan.
Sohan. Because he like invented something and yeah. he just wants to go.
Incredibly talented human.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Last one.
Yeah. We need it.
This is the last one. Okay. The five most likely players to make all NBA. Jeez.
Okay.
Well, Paolo is a no brainer.
Paolo, Mobley.
Scoot.
Yep.
Scoot.
Scoot.
Two more.
I'd say Franz Wagner.
Interesting.
I like Franz Wagner.
Well, and we just said Jalen Williams could win finals MVP, so doesn't he have to?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
I mean, Jalen Green, if he ever really popped and scored a 30 a game.
Sure.
He,
top 15 player in the league.
Yeah.
Like.
So.
But 30 a game, like, gets you a sniff at third team All-NBA.
Bradley Beal.
Even on a bad team. Yeah.
So we're saying, yeah, I think all that makes sense. I mean, yeah. I'm trying to look and at, like, so, dark horse.
Jeremy Sohan. I think, like, has a pretty good shot.
Yeah.
Eventually.
I think, like, guys like Giddy and Quentin Grimes have like an outside shot.
Do you think Mathurin has any I mean, he's been super productive.
He's very productive.
He has a fire about him that I love, and you know, he's athletic, he can shoot.
He's also got an incredible story too. We won't take time to tell the story here, but like it's worth your time to
this
look at
this. Isn't the all story NBA, Andrew.
Well, but let's not act like narratives don't matter.
You're right.
Because they certainly do.
If he was averaging 25 a game and the Pacers were like fighting for the Eastern Conference Finals or something like that.
If they're a top four team in the East and he's at 25 a game.
And he gets this incredible feature written about him and his journey. I don't know. Voters tend to like stuff like that.
Okay.
So if he's scoring 25 a game.
Yeah.
Right. And they're top four in the East.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to be all NBA. Like we would start the agenda for him just so that we could then say, you know, we did this podcast after the greatest Friday night.
Everyone's talking about it.
Yeah. NBA All-Star history.
We're all going to be in the documentary about tonight that Sam is going to direct.
That's right. What about Walker Kessler?
That's a guy, right? Like, so Defensive Player of the Year possibilities there. He's going to block a lot of shots. Utah may wind up being decent pretty fast.
Following the Gobert steps.
That's right. Yeah. Right? And so you could see a scenario where, yeah, he gets a lot of that third team center vote.
Yeah. A guy we haven't mentioned at all this entire conversation, except for at the very beginning when we talked about him, the mascot, hitting something at him, Alperen Şengün.
Yeah.
Where are we at with him?
What are you talking about?
What?
An all-NBA guy?
I'm not necessarily saying.
Hold on a second.
I will not hold on.
Look at his numbers.
I refuse.
Look at his numbers. And if you extrapolate those to, you know, like more playing time, if the team is ever good. And by the way, I don't necessarily think Şengün is like staying in a Houston Rocket forever. I mean, the baby Jokic stuff is funny, but it's not completely inaccurate.
How dare
and
you?
The biggest problem with that.
You should never talk to anyone like Big Jokic.
Is
ever.
Like, is that Şengün's like 6'8"?
Right.
And he just got a ball. But I mean, just, he does.
He is a productive.
You think that would have happened to Jokic?
No, I don't actually.
He would have caught that.
He is a productive player in the stat sheet, right? Like, and that matters.
Good passer.
Really good passer. You know, can score.
Runs a little funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not there with him, but I can sit and talk myself into circles on all these guys, right?
I'm just trying to think of anybody that we
Trey Murphy
that
maybe
we haven't mentioned.
Like Trey Murphy, I like as a shooter, defender. I mean, he's such a solid player that you could see if he really popped one year, he could make it.
Don't think he has that kind of potential.
The ball enough, right?
But like he is like the ultimate role player. Mm-hmm. Like there's not one team in the league that wouldn't want him in their lineup.
I mean, he's
right
a starter
now.
In like you know on 20 some odd
for
different
sure.
teams.
He's great.
Yeah,
he's a great player.
Yeah. It isn't. within the, again, within the conversation. So I'm pointing at Scotty Barnes. You know, that was a guy that we had sky-high projections for.
And we did we skip over him or did we say him?
We didn't say him.
We didn't say
him. Well, Scotty, sorry. Okay. I thought we had already said him. Yeah, Scotty Barnes for sure.
I have a superlative.
Okay.
Last one, if you want it.
Yeah.
Of all these guys, last shot, who would you want to be taking the last shot? And why is it not Jose Alvarado? Because he just won the game.
That was great fun.
Like, what kind of shot? Ball in the hand,
ball,
shot clock.
Everyone knows that this guy has the ball in his hand.
He's going to shoot it.
The clock is ticking down. Let's just say score tied, so it doesn't have, you don't have to think about threes or twos.
Easy.
Yeah.
Paolo.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paolo.
That step back that he's got at his size.
It's like, who's got the best go-to move with the ball in their hand? Like, Paolo would be the one.
Nearly unguardable,
yeah.
That move. Yeah, so I think Paolo, that one's easy.
Yeah.
And that's exciting.
No doubt.
If you're a Magic fan.
A sneaky one, Quentin Grimes, I think, is a guy that off the dribble has got a lot more juice than people think and is developing pretty
explosive.
Rapidly. And he's super good. But yeah, I think that, and even Jalen Green, like we can even mention Jalen Green one more time. Just for you, Mike.
No, hold on. You're saying
he's pretty good.
You're saying last shot, who would you trust? I'm not trusting Jalen Green with the last shot. Like, I not right now.
Yeah, sure.
But like today, Paolo, that's it. I mean, he could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
does he have a buzzer beater this year?
You know, for some reason, I remember something like maybe like the season.
It was a preseason or something. But in my head, I'm like, I maybe feel like he's been in that. Yeah, it might have been something.
Yeah, like I'm thinking like, I know he's had a buzzer beater game winner, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know if it was actually the regular season.
But yeah.
Alvarado has.
Yeah. Alvarado still might be the guy. This is an interesting group.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's like any like surefire like first ballot Hall of Famers in this group, do you think?
They're like a generational talent in this group? No. I don't see it.
Yeah, I'm not sure I do either.
I don't think any of these guys will be like a top five guy, right? Like, I mean, not this group.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, that's pretty normal. You don't get top five guys every 2 years.
No.
Luckily.
Yeah.
That was, man, imagine if the turnover was like football, where the best running back might only be the best running back for like a season and a half.
Right.
And then he blows his ACL. And then 3 years later, he comes back and he's the best running back in the league for another year.
This is the most football talk on Slam and Jam ever. For sure.
That's what you get.
Well, this is Super Bowl week. So, technically.
Is it?
Super Bowl was last weekend.
Gosh.
I know.
That makes no sense
guys.
To me.
Wasn't it? Last weekend?
It was on
Sunday.
What
are you saying last? Yeah. It was this past Sunday?
Yeah.
There's no way.
Isn't that true?
Isn't it?
I'm pretty sure that's
true. When was the Super Bowl? This is... All right.
Oh yeah,
I never do this.
It was. It definitely was. Like I know it was. Yeah. I watched it with my kids.
We saw. There's friends. A guy. There's Same. People walking around with their Super Bowl swag to make sure that we know that they were at the Super Bowl.
The last 2 days have felt like a whole week.
That's how consumed we are with the NBA.
I apologize for the punch drunkiness of this podcast. Like we sound punch drunk. I mean, we are. Like
this was great.
We've been here.
No, this
going
great.
All day. But
I'm as sharp as I've ever been. So. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to leave us a 5-star review, I'll read it on the podcast. We'll do that next week when Alex Spears is back. Thanks so much for listening. And we hope you guys have a great weekend. We are going to have more podcasts coming at you, recapping All-Star Weekend. Be sure that you subscribe to the Athletic NBA Show on YouTube so you can watch us talk, which is great. We're also having some exclusive content posted on our YouTube page over the weekend here in Salt Lake City. You guys enjoy the basketball, and we'll talk to you guys again next week.